Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
That flight from Minneapolis to Toronto, we heard the plane had flipped over, and I thought maybe it did in flight. Imagine how terrifying that would be. The plane landed hard, burst into flames, and caught fire, and then skidded on the runway, and then turned over. It literally turned upside down. That's why you want to keep your seatbelt fastened until the very end. The people climbed out. There were few injuries, no fatalities. Can you imagine the glass being that half full? I mean, that's at least the good part about all of this. Robert Mark joins us now. He's a business jet pilot and a former Chicago area traffic controller. He's also the publisher of a website called jetwine.com, W-H-I-N-E, jetwine.com. It's an opinion page for Robert and people that want to talk a little bit about the aviation industry. He joins us now on WGN. Robert, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, John. Thanks for inviting me.
You ever seen anything like that one in Toronto?
Oh, boy. I mean, remember the miracle on the Hudson? Well, I think this is going to go down as the miracle in Toronto, because what looks like it happened was that the wind was very strong, very gusty yesterday in Toronto, and it, you know, of course it throws the airplane all over the place when you're trying to land. It's the pilot's job to keep control, but it looked like it landed hard, really really hard, on the right main gear, and that landing gear, that wheel, collapsed. And that allowed the right wing to touch the ground, and it just went to heck from there. I mean, because the right wing folded up, yeah, because of the pressure, and the rest is history in about 4 seconds.
Would that be a function of the wind?
Well, the wind can throw you around, and it can also change the way the aircraft ground speed is, or the airspeed is, as it's approaching. You can get wind shear, which makes you suddenly think you're going slower than you were or faster. And so, again, I think it's going to be the wind. The runway appears to have been clear, so I don't think that was the problem. But again, for whatever reason, pilot input, but it landed very, very hard,
yeah,
enough to collapse that gear.
I used to live near an airport, so we would watch planes take off and land all the time, right over our house. And it gave me so much confidence in air safety, because it'd be a terrible storm or wind or whatever, and planes were coming and going and coming and going. But one thing we noticed was that if the wind was at an angle, the planes would, I don't know if the term is, crabbed into the wind.
Oh, sure. So looks they'd like be flying crooked.
Yeah, it's like they're coming in at like a 30 or 45 degree angle, sort of, you know, fighting the wind that way. And then at the last second, they leveled out and landed straight on. But if they had come straight in, the wind, I guess, would have blown them off course. It was really weird to see. I wonder if any calculation or navigation like that was at play here.
Oh, I'm sure there was, because it would have been a crosswind, a really gusty crosswind in Toronto yesterday, off to the right side of the airplane. And so most pilots would try to land on what we call the upwind side, the side the wind is coming from, touch down on the right main first. But, to make sure the airplane doesn't get blown over. But he must have landed really, really hard, because it looked like, from the video I saw, it looked like the airplane fell about 30 or 40 feet at one point before it hit the runway.
You are an air traffic controller. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, you know what? I honestly spent 10 years of my life as a controller around the Chicagoland area and also down in Florida. And I honestly loved the job. I really did. It was like playing, as I said to somebody a couple of weeks ago, it's the ultimate mind game. It's like playing four-dimensional chess. And I mean, not that it's a funny job, but I'm saying it really is challenging on your brain to try to get all of the keep all the moving pieces from connecting with each other and talking on the radio, and you're pumping out departures, and you're trying to get people to land, and it's really fun. But boy, you're tired when you're done. And I was around for a little bit after the Patco strike in '81, and we were working 6 day weeks, 10 hour days, and boy, I got to tell you, that just wears you down real quick. And they're still doing that today. They're still working 6 day weeks, 10 hour days in a lot of places.
Really, in major metropolitan areas?
Oh yeah, in Chicago they are. I mean, the air traffic control system. You probably heard about shortages of controllers and things like that. They never actually recovered from the strike of '81. They kind of throw a 1,000 or maybe 1,500 trainees into the mix, but they really needed much more. And then the other issue is that all the trainees don't make it. They probably have a 30-35% washout rate. So if FAA says they hire 1,000, when they're all done, you might get 600 or 700 actual controllers out of it, which meant that instead of hiring 1,000, they should have probably hired 1,500 or 1,800, mm-hmm. knowing that there was. And then, of course, in the middle of that, you've got people retiring. So, you know, the experience is going out the other end. So it was like trying to keep a leaky boat from you know, being swamped.
Okay, so you're Elon Musk, and you're moving into the control.
No, please don't make me that.
He is with his whip smart team, and they know about rockets. I presume that's different than airplanes, and some of his rockets blow up. But so, what would you do differently? What advice would you have to the FAA or the Trump administration or anybody else? What do you think needs to happen here?
Because I think that this arbitrary cutting of people to look like they're saving money and to become more efficient is just, it's a recipe for disaster. I mean, right now, especially in this last 2 weeks, the last thing the American flying public needs is less confidence in the aviation system. And that comes anyway simply because of the accidents. But then when they read the headlines that the White House and DOGE are just cutting people all over the place, that's going to make them feel even less secure about flying.
And I don't know that this will change people's opinions, but the new head of the FAA says that they're not cutting any positions that involve air traffic control or safety. It's other people on the ground. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you what they said, but they're not cutting people in the tower.
No, and what they are cutting are support people for the equipment. And the equipment is very ancient anyway, and needs all the help it can get. Again, it's not going to help. I think, you know, in fact, it's funny. I'll put a plug in. I mean, I wrote a story at Jetwine a couple of years ago about remote tower operations that is a technology and a concept that came from the Swedes in Europe, and it is designed to bring new technology to control towers and also save the FAA from the money of having to keep rebuilding all these old, you know, brick and mortar buildings. And of course, nobody at FAA wanted to have anything to do with it because it wasn't invented in America. I mean, that would be a great place to start. I mean, but they need to think about what they're doing rather than just making arbitrary cuts. And we only know about the ones that they've made in the last day or two. We don't know where it's going to end. And again, I mean, change is great. I mean, FAA needs it desperately, but they don't need somebody going in there with a fire axe, just, you know, whopping heads and arms and things off like that.
Robert, I'm going to call you another day. I've only got 30 seconds left. But in general, given all that AI can do and how it can play four-dimensional chess, it can play a million-level chess, do you think that artificial intelligence would be a way to see where the planes and helicopters are and communicate with them?
I think it certainly is a possibility, and I think it's worth being investigated. It just doesn't. It doesn't need 10 years of investigation. So, you know, they can probably help speed that up a little bit.
Yeah. Robert Mark is a business jet pilot. He's a former air traffic controller. We heard that for about 10 years here in Florida. He is the publisher of a website called jetwhine.com, W-H-I-N-E, jetwhine.com. Robert, we'll call you again. Thanks for saying hello today.
Hey, thanks, John.